he's provided it for us to come and to worship and to praise him. And I ask, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
We're going to talk this morning about one of the apostles that's mentioned very sparingly in the Bible, but yet has a reputation that even non-believers know about. I shall, during the course of the sermon, read three selections of Scripture, all from the book of John, and I invite you to follow along in your Bibles as I read these passages. You can turn to John, and we'll get to the specific chapter and verse later. And we ask that God will add His blessing to our reading, hearing, and studying of His Word. Historical evidence indicates that Thomas was in India from 58 A.D. until 72 A.D. when he was martyred. The church in southwest India was apparently founded by Thomas, and it is alleged that Thomas is buried in Madras, India, at the Church of St. Thomas. Well, what are the reasons which prompted Thomas to leave the land in which he lived, travel halfway across the world, and die so far from home, all for the cause of Christianity? You know, Thomas, as we know, is often labeled Doubting Thomas. But the evidence indicates that maybe he does not deserve such a label. And I want us to look at that evidence this morning. I want us to attempt to discern Thomas's nature, his characteristics, as much as we are able to do so from the three selections or the three times that he's mentioned in the Scripture. And as I said, all three of these are found in the Gospel of John. As we know, Thomas was one of Jesus' 12 disciples. And the question is, was he Thomas the doubter or Thomas the doer? And studying the passages of Scripture in which he is mentioned, we shall learn that Thomas was willing to risk his life for Jesus, was willing to ask the hard question of Jesus, and was willing to accept the truth. Let's look first at Thomas's being willing to risk his life for Jesus. The first time Thomas is mentioned in the Scriptures is the passage regarding Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. If you will, let's turn to John chapter 11, verses 1 through 16. Follow along in your Bible as I read. John chapter 11, 1 through 16. Now a man named Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews tried to stone you, and yet you are going back there?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? A man who walks by day will not stumble, for he sees by the world's light. It is when he walks by night that he stumbles, for he has no light." After he had said this, he went on to tell them, Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him. His disciples replied, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better. Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. Then Thomas, called Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. The disciples made what most of us would consider a logical argument to Jesus regarding his return to Judea. You know, Lord, when you left there, they were trying to stone you, and now you're going to return back to the same city? Yet Jesus insists that they return. And verse 16 is the one clue out of this scripture we have as to Thomas's position regarding following and serving Jesus. Thomas says to the rest of the disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Thomas, who is always referred to as doubting Thomas, makes the bold statement, I'm willing to follow you, Lord. Wherever you go, I'm willing to go, even if it may mean my death. Certainly we can learn from this scenario. First, Thomas was willing to put it all on the line. In his mind, there was a strong possibility that his Lord, that his master Jesus may be killed, and even a strong possibility that he may be killed as well, being one of his followers. But yet he says, I am going to return with Jesus to Judea. I'm willing to follow him at the risk of death. And I wonder, do we have the same passion to follow Jesus? Do we have the same boldness to follow Jesus? Do we have the same desire to follow Jesus? Or do we place other people before following and serving Jesus? Do we place other idols such as possessions and money and power and popularity before serving and follow Jesus? Or do we place other activities in which we engage before serving and following Jesus? Well, certainly Jesus was Thomas's number one priority. We also know that Thomas was willing to ask the hard question of Jesus. The second time he is mentioned is found in John 14, verses 1 through 6. You'll flip over from where you were to chapter 14 and follow along as I read verses 1 through 6. And this is Jesus speaking to the disciples. He's trying to tell them that he will have to leave them, and they have become upset, and he is now trying to comfort them. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is attempting to provide some comfort here. Not only has he told them that he will be leaving, he has also told them of his betrayal by Judas. He's told them of Peter's upcoming denial of even knowing him. So he is attempting to comfort them. We can imagine the disciples sitting around at the table, nodding their heads knowingly and pretending to understand what Jesus was saying. We've all done it. I'm sure I know I have. You know, you get that, you have no idea what the speaker's saying, what he's talking or he or she is talking about. But Thomas speaks up. Thomas is not afraid to question Jesus. Thomas says, "Lord, what are you trying to tell us? I'm confused. I don't understand. What do you mean you're going somewhere and we are to follow you? We don't even know where you're going." Well, notice that Jesus did not rebuke Thomas. Jesus did not make fun of Thomas for his honest question. Jesus expanded on some points that he was trying to make to answer Thomas's question. The other disciples were probably thinking, "Thank you, Thomas, for asking the question, because we didn't know what he was talking about." Now, what can we learn from this instance, this second instance in which Thomas is mentioned? One of the things that we need to learn is one of the biggest misconceptions that we are taught about our religion, Christianity, is, or even life in general, is that asking questions is wrong. You know, you've seen it on TV and movies, and you may even have had an instructor tell you no question is a dumb question, and that's true. But how difficult is it when you're in a group of people and you don't know what's going on and you don't know what the speaker's saying? It's difficult, I think, to just speak up and ask a question that you probably think everybody else knows the answer to. But asking honest questions of Jesus is not a sin. To desire a better understanding of a situation is not a sin. Naturally, there are some facts we do not understand when they are first presented to us. But be willing to ask the questions, to examine the facts, to determine what is occurring and how should we respond as followers of Jesus Christ. I mentioned at the beginning that there were three facts that we were going to learn about Thomas. And the third fact is that he was willing to accept the truth. And this third time that Thomas is mentioned is in John 20, 24 through 29. John chapter 20, 24 through 29. Now, Thomas called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Let's understand what events were occurring here. Mary sees Jesus at his tomb. And she goes and tells the disciples, and there's nowhere in God's word is it recorded that they believed her. Then on the first day of the week, the day after the resurrection, they are in a locked room in a house, hiding in fear from the Jews. Because the Jews, you know, weren't just going to let them continue the message that Jesus had been preaching if they could help it. So they're hiding in the room, and Jesus appears to them, stands in the room, and speaks to them. But Thomas was not present. So when the other disciples told Thomas that they had seen Jesus, he did not believe them. Thomas did not wish to blindly accept what his fellow disciples had said. He wanted to make certain that what they said was a true fact. So a week later, the disciples, including Thomas, are in the house again. The house is locked, the room is locked, and Jesus appears and stood among the disciples and spoke to them. And Jesus shows Thomas his hands and his side and allows him to touch him. Now, what can we learn from this third reference to Thomas in God's Word? First, we must understand that doubting is not a sin. If it were so, Jesus would have said to Thomas to stop sinning and believe. But he didn't say that. He said, stop doubting and believe. We all wrestle with doubt regarding an issue or issues from time to time. Remember this, though. Thomas never doubted Jesus. And I think that's where he gets the bad rep. When we refer to him as Doubting Thomas, we think he doubted Jesus telling him that, you know, I am he. He never doubted Jesus. He had questions. He had doubt about the statements that the disciples had made to him. Because once Jesus appeared to Thomas, he said, my Lord and my Master. He knew this was Jesus. You know, unbelief and doubt are not the same. Unbelief is a deliberate denial, disobedience, and resistance to a fact. Unbelief is condemned. But doubt is a sincere question, whereas unbelief is the unwillingness to accept the answer. To doubt the resurrection is not uncommon. How many people in the history of mankind do we know that died and were raised from the dead? Three that I can think of, and certainly Jesus is the one that comes to mind to most everybody, believer or non-believer. But it wasn't an everyday thing or a monthly thing or a yearly thing that somebody who was dead would get up and live again. So Thomas, you know, had difficulty with that fact when it was told to him by his fellow disciples. I'm sure he may have thought that they believed they had seen Jesus, but they could have been in so much grief that they had imagined it. They had thought. He wanted proof, and once he saw Jesus, he never doubted Jesus. He said, my Lord and my Savior. Thomas had just lost his friend Jesus, he thought. And it's difficult for him and for us to make faith fit with the realities of life. This is true when a loved one dies, when we see people in our community starving, in the world starving, when our marriage fails, when we lose a job. It's difficult to make faith fit with that reality that you experience in the end. And it was difficult for Thomas in faith to take the word of his fellow disciples. But when he saw Jesus, there was no question, my Lord and my God. Hopefully we shall stop calling Thomas Doubting Thomas. He did not doubt as much as he was seeking the truth. He was willing to risk his life and follow Jesus. And in the end, Thomas gave his life. He was martyred for serving Jesus. Thomas was willing to ask the hard question. He just didn't nod and, okay, yeah. He says, Lord, I don't understand. What do you mean? We know where you're going. We don't know. Explain to me. Such question and its answer caused him to trust Jesus so much that he traveled to the other side of the known world at the time to serve Jesus. Thomas was willing to accept the truth when he saw Jesus, my Lord and my God. In the end, he accepted and was committed to the truth that Jesus was born of a virgin, crucified, and was resurrected. He was so committed to those truths that he planted countless churches in the country of India. We should be more like Thomas. We should be willing to follow Jesus unto death. We should be willing to ask the difficult questions as we study God's word and seek an answer for him. We should be willing to accept the truth when confronted by it. We need to realize that miracles happen and that science cannot always explain an event. There are miracles, and God gives us those miracles. We need to be more like Thomas. So if you're here today, you're a believer, and you are not willing to put Christ first, to serve and to follow him even unto death, and you are not willing to ask the tough questions as you study God's word, and you are not willing to accept the truth when you find it in God's word because it may infringe upon something you're doing that you enjoy doing and you don't want to change doing that, so you don't want to accept it as truth. In other words, you're committing a sin and you don't want to admit that, so you don't accept the truth from God's word. If you're not doing that, you need to examine your heart and to pray to God and ask him to give you the guidance you need to be like a Thomas. And if you have not accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, but you have been touched by the Holy Spirit here today and want to do so, we invite you to do that here, to come forward and profess your faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior. And I will pray with you and we can talk about what other steps you wish to take or may need to take. And we invite you to do that as we sing our hymn of invitation, number 276. Please stand. As